and welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, our number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with color breaking news, culture, manic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Interesting news. Apparently, every single Mac computer since 2018 has had a copy of the Bitcoin white paper. What the hell is going on there? I don't know. And also something very interesting as well, right? We had the original who founded the company with Steve Jobs. May he rest in peace. Steve Wozniak is a huge fan of Bitcoin. But I think the signal really is Tim Cook. Tim Cook recently, I think he had an interview, I forget who it was with, it was one of the large publications, and they asked him, hey, do you have, and we have the clip for you guys, of course, do you own any Bitcoin? He says, yeah, of course. I think Bitcoin is really good to have in any portfolio. So you have the CEO of Apple basically saying, yes, I own Bitcoin. And then you have Apple, like, I don't know what they're doing. Apple basically has the white paper in every single computer. That's millions and millions of computers worldwide that all have a copy of the Bitcoin white paper. That is absolutely incredible. Pretty sure CSW is crying right now. Anyways, everybody, before we start the show, I want to bring up my legendary co-host, always optimistic. Today, he sent me a picture. As soon as he woke up, Nico, I just woke up, and it was just him smiling. And I said, dude, don't do that anymore. I get you're optimistic. It's okay, brother. I get it. Anyways, how you doing, Opti?
I'm doing good, bro. You crack me up. I would never, you know, push you to that much torture that early in the morning. So I won't do it again. But yeah, man. You know, today as a Bitcoiner, well, I guess it was yesterday. I know we get a lot of flack in the Bitcoin community for being Apple computer users, but I think it feels good today to be using a Mac laptop. I was able to verify this for myself, and it was pretty cool last night seeing everyone lose their minds around it. But yeah, man, how many millions of users have the Bitcoin white paper now on their computer unbeknownst to them? It's almost like the signal's getting out there. But anyways, today in the culture, we got Justin from Satoshi Action Fund. So we're going to be talking about Nico, what do you always say? We're going to be talking about what's going on in the Imperial City. I like that meme. And some other topics, but let's bring in our guest.
Imperial City, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know, is Washington, D.C. Anyways, let's bring up our guest, Justin. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you join us, man. It's going to be a great show. Before, guys, we start the show. Guys, everything that Simply Bitcoin does is completely free. You could find it. But if you do want to support the show, if you want to help us stay on the air, go to simplybitcoin.news. You could subscribe to our Substack. But like I said, everything that we do is free. Anyways, everybody, no more delay. Let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin Numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody, I also want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin celebration of the year, Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be hosted in sunny Miami Beach, May 18th through the 20th, 2023. It's coming up. It's less than almost in 2 months. It's 2 months. Get your tickets now because the prices do increase. And of course, we have a promo code for you guys. You can use the promo code Simply to get yourself a big discount. Let's go through some of the speaker lists. We have Michael Lewis, Arthur Hayes, Michael Saylor, Jack Maulers, Casey, creator of Ordinals, Alex Gladstein, Preston Pish, Stacey Herbert, Greg Foss, Odell, Lynn Alden, Peter McCormack, Opti, and I are also on there as well. We're going to be on the analyst desk. I hope to see a lot of you guys in person, have a couple beers with you guys, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. Definitely don't want to miss Bitcoin 2023. Promo code Simply. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 28,135. Sats per dollar, 3,554. Block height, 784,229. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,096. 6 blocks to halving, 55,771 halving estimate, April 20th, 2024. Total Lightning network capacity, 5,405 Bitcoin capacity value, $152 million US dollars. Realized monetary inflation, 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $544 billion. Today on the numbers segment, I want to cover crazy stuff. Paxful. Paxful, perhaps you guys haven't heard of Paxful, specifically if you're living in, if you're living in the U.S. We're privileged to have very well-developed financial rails here. But if, you know, you're living in, especially in the global south, Paxful was one of those exchanges that you could have been using to acquire Bitcoin. The CEO, shortly after, he said that he was going to drop Ethereum, basically shut down the exchange. He blames staff departures, but most importantly, the regulatory challenges. And this is something that we've been covering for quite a while. You know, this is part of Operation Choke Point 2.0. This is the hostility from some people call it the deep state. I would call it the administrative state. The hostility towards the industry, trying to isolate the industry from, you know, the U.S. financial system in the hopes of slowing down or stopping Bitcoin adoption. I have a clip for you guys from, you know, of course, one of Odell's very famous show. So shout out to Odell. Let's take a look at this clip. It's the CEO of Paxful, and he's talking about what was mentioned in this article. Let's check it out.
Out of 400 people, we had over 90 people that were doing compliance.
Wow.
So we were bending backwards to please these regulators. But as you guys can see, there's really nothing you can do that will appease these people. They are not about inclusivity. In fact, American compliance is utterly racist. They'd want to know, what's up with these gift cards? What are these Nigerians doing? And they weren't just viewing things with a bit of suspicion, which is understandable. They were viewing things with actual disdain and apathy. And, you know, it's kind of like the Matrix, right?
Yep.
You know, you talk to these people and you say, yeah, I'm trying to help people and help humanity get ahead. And you see, it's like some kind of alien took them over and they become Agent Smith, right? And they are completely against you. Like, where the hell did that come from?
You heard it himself, and that's something, those are words that we have used on Simply Bitcoin, and we're going to keep doubling down on those words, right? Bitcoin is the most inclusive money the world has ever seen. It doesn't care where you're from, what your skin color is, what religion you are, and what place you happen to be born in. I don't know about you guys, but I want to live in a world where money doesn't judge or doesn't care where you're from. Anyone has access to money. Therefore, if they have access to money, specifically Bitcoin, they have access to the global economy. And they want to live in a world where they want to pick and choose who's entitled to use money and who's not entitled to use money. So all the BS and all the narratives that we're going to hear over the next, I would say, the next 5-10 years, where things are really going to get tumultuous in the separation of money and state, double down. Why are we being forced to use money that steals from us? And double down on the fact that Bitcoin is the equal money. Bitcoin is the equitable money. Bitcoin is the inclusive money. Don't buy into their narratives and spins and misrepresentations, because it's BS on its face. Anyways, bunker down, take Bitcoin into self-custody. This is going to be a hell of a fight. But anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on all this, brother?
Well, first, condolences to Paxful. It's an end of an era, and really a bummer considering how pivotal Paxful was to the adoption of Bitcoin in Nigeria. I mean, I think Ray said it best himself. But on another note, I know I'm like the paranoid Bitcoiner of the show, so there's my context to what I'm going to say next. But I think this is kind of further proof to the idea that it's not about coexisting within the traditional financial system. It's about recreating it from the ground up and building a better and more inclusive financial system, which we obviously continuously cover on this show. The traditional financial system is not set up for the inclusivity of every person on planet Earth. It's definitely designed, you know, from the top down and to ensure the cabal of those in power. And I think it's kind of a Bitcoin point of, just how bad of an idea it is to appease the regulators. And in my opinion, it's not the winning strategy. It's really about what we always cover here, the famous Hayek quote of building a sly roundabout way so that they cannot stop what Bitcoin really is. It is an inclusive, decentralized system that no one controls and no one can stop. And that's the beauty of Bitcoin. So it really is a bummer to see Paxful go down like this. But again, you know, Bitcoin, the network, will route around this, and other entrepreneurs in different jurisdictions will build the products and the services that we need. So shouts out to all the Bitcoin builders out there. And I think this is just more signal to the idea of building the tools that route around all the crazy traditional financial regulations that hamper innovation. So, I mean, Bitcoin fixes this, but hey, you can't stop Bitcoin. What do I always say? You can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. And so we're just seeing further proof of this happen in real time. So again, you know, rip to Paxful, but shouts out to the next innovators and entrepreneurs that will build the businesses that cannot be stopped. So, hey, it's a double-edged sword.
It's a double-edged sword. Remember, Bitcoin is the sly roundabout way. Make no mistake. Anyways, Justin, what are your thoughts on this, brother?
Yeah, you know, late RIP Paxful, and hopefully, like you said, Opti, some entrepreneurs fill the void and take care of the global south in particular. But, you know, I think another angle is the regulations, those numbers that he mentioned, like what, a quarter of his staff dedicated to compliance. And this isn't just a crypto, you know, Bitcoin company thing. Like, this is what the banks have to do also, and this is what electric utilities have to do. We just have these massive compliance departments that are just, you know, maybe just pushing around paper, because at the end of the day, like, look at all the regulatory compliance and what do we end up with, you know, Silicon Valley Bank, you know, Signature. I mean, what are we dealing with right now? All the compliance was good enough to bury the insolvency in a footnote, right? So that's what we get for this compliance and regulatory regime that is just suffocating basically probably every industry, not just the innovative ones, all of them. So it's just a little insight into what, you know, again, Bitcoin hopefully fixes this and we can start to shed that skin and move on. Because why is it for our safety? Is this all for our safety? Thank you. Okay. I'll be all right without it.
Yeah, 100%. And like, in, you know, you said something really interesting, which is the compliance really about compliance, or is the compliance really about control? It's really about that moat, right? You know, it's only the big banks that could afford these giant, you know, monstrosity compliance departments, which are really, you know, arms of the state, really, right? You know, those, and it's all behind the scenes. You know, like if you have a wire and you're trying to find out about that wire, where it's going, and it's like, look, I can't tell you, that's with compliance, right? And you're like, oh, and you're not allowed to speak with the compliance department. So I think, you know, as Bitcoin continues to reveal and expose incentives, I think it's really going to expose the fact that, you know, I think that these compliance departments, right, or, you know, governments in general, are they really for the people? Are they really for the best interest of the people? Or are they really for the best interest of themselves? And I think the last 5 years has shown that. And I think the next 5 years is going to continue to show that pattern. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So I think the big news yesterday was it's so absolutely bonkers, right? Apparently every Mac since the version Mac OS Mojave and the current version Ventura has had a copy of the Bitcoin white paper. If you have a Mac, just open up Terminal and just copy paste this and it will pull it up. It's absolutely crazy. Here's a screenshot of it. You know, it has virtual scanner. It just pops up this thing, and it has all the 9 pages of the Bitcoin white paper. So moving on, here is a here's a tab. It's called the Bitcoin Reserve. And it says, this is a list of famous people who have publicly confirmed their ownership of Bitcoin, as well as politicians who openly support it. Please note that there are many famous people who do, in fact, own Bitcoin, but have not publicly announced. And I think that as time progresses, you know, more and more people will go and say that they own it, right? So let's take a look at some of these. At the top of the list, you have the CEO of Apple, right? And Apple is, like we just told you guys, if you have a MacBook, you do have a copy of the Bitcoin white paper on that MacBook without having connection to the internet. So it's on your Mac, which I thought is crazy. And at the top of this list, you have the CEO of Apple, and he has publicly said that he owns Bitcoin. Here's a video of that interview. Let's check it out.
Do you own crypto and any Bitcoin or Ethereum? Would you play around with this?
I do. Yeah, I think it's reasonable to own it as a part of a diversified portfolio. And I'm not giving anybody investment advice, by the way.
When did you get interested in it?
I've been interested in it for a while, and I've been researching it and so forth. And so I think it's interesting.
Holy cow. Right. So convinced, you know, he owns it, didn't specify. Of course, he's not going to be able to specify. He is, you know, the CEO of a public company. Right. He has to, you know, be responsible and be very, very careful of what he has to say. But this is something, I think this is the more interesting part. Like, you could say everything else was basically noise. You know, it's like, okay, fine, my Mac has a Bitcoin white paper, Tim Pool owns Bitcoin. He specifically said also in that interview that that's his personal holdings, that has nothing, that doesn't reflect with what Apple Computers is doing. But here's the part where I find extremely interesting. And this is an article from investors.com. And this is something that Bitcoiners have been saying for quite a long time now, right? No, not Bitcoiners specifically. It's really Michael Saylor, right? And Michael Saylor basically was making the argument that if I'm holding a lot of cash on my treasury, that cash is constantly losing value. And that's not a, like, yeah, I would say it is a problem, but like, let's say you're holding $100, right? And that $100, you know, you have 6% inflation. The next year, it's $94 purchasing power. But Apple is holding a lot of cash. So that inflation is like, it's a lot of money that they're losing every single year. So yeah, let me read some of this article. It says mounting piles of cash. Companies stockpiling cash was fine with investors during the uncertainty of the pandemic, but now cries for higher dividends and stock buybacks are getting louder. Excluding financials, S&P companies, cash and investments is up this year to more than 2.7 trillion. Of that 2.7 trillion, could you imagine what 6% of $2.7 trillion is? Holy cow, that is a lot of money that is literally just basically being set on fire because of inflation, right? So to do the math real quick, that is $162 billion if your money's in cash. Anyways, it goes on to say, Apple's cash piles is impressive, but it's a costly luxury. It ended ended the March quarter with $38.5 billion in cash. That's enough to give all 328 million men and women and children in the U.S. $623 a piece. And that's the criticism. Cash and treasuries are a bad place to be. The yield on the 10-year treasury is just 1.6%. That's half of what it was in 2018. Apple's cash and investments first topped $200 billion in the fiscal year ended in September 2015. Since it has aggressively tried to dispense it, Apple announced plans this week for billions in capital expenditures. It's also raising its stocks buyback program by $90 billion. So, let's kind of run the, so it's talking about the treasury specifically.
But let's do the math on that real quick, right? So it has $200 billion in cash. So let's run the math of what inflation is costing that. And keep in mind that that 1.62% in treasury bills doesn't even cover the cost of the recent inflation reports, which is 6%, right? So if you put $200 billion and you multiply it by 6%, that's costing Apple $12 billion a year in purchasing power. Now, the reason that Apple doesn't really, you know, I wouldn't say they don't care, but it's because Apple's an extremely profitable company. So, you know, they just keep flooding, you know, they're racking more in than this is costing them. There is no good alternative for Apple but to keep it in treasury and to keep it in cash. But as Michael Saylor pointed out, right, what Michael Saylor is doing is that he's proving right now that holding Bitcoin on his balance sheet, on MicroStrategy's balance sheet, is a good alternative to holding fiat money. It's a viable alternative. The thing is that there is no trust in it as of yet. So I'm going to pull up this website. It's called Priced in Bitcoin. It's one of my favorite. And it says, what would happen if you would have held cash compared to holding something like Bitcoin? And then it has different time periods for audio listeners. So over a 3-year time scale, if you were holding Bitcoin, you would be down 76% against the US dollar. If you were holding dollars versus Bitcoin over a 5-year period, you'd be down 76%. And this is, those numbers are right now in the depths of a bear market, right? So anyways, it goes down, it says gold, you know, if you would have been holding gold versus Bitcoin over a 5-year scale, you're down 64%. If you were holding it on a 3-year scale, you're down 68%. I think you guys get the gist of it. This is crazy. Could Apple be the next domino to fall? I don't know, man. I don't know. Totally speculating there. But if the CEO is a fan of it, the original founder, Steve Wozniak, he has a very famous video. He says that Bitcoin is one of the most famous, one of the best inventions he's ever seen. Could it be? I don't know. But you know what? Every single MacBook does have a copy of the Bitcoin white paper. So you could make a pretty good argument that there is definitely at least some engineers, some people in Apple that are a big fan of Satoshi's movement. So anyways, this is crazy. This is nuts. I think the next 5 years, you guys are going to see things that you would have never have thought imaginable. And the reason for that is two things specifically. So thing number one is Michael Saylor proving that Bitcoin is a viable alternative to holding fiat on a treasury. And then Nayib Bukele on the nation state front proving that you can hold dollars on the country's treasury as an alternative to dollars. And on top of that, because it's a nation state, you could also make Bitcoin legal tender. And look at all the wonders that has done to El Salvador. So very interesting times. And you know, you guys know how we know we're over the target. The fiat times, or if you're a normie and you call it the financial times, they came out with an article which we're going to cover tomorrow. And in that article, it says, quote, El Salvador, this is the headline, El Salvador hasn't defaulted, don't thank Bitcoin. This tells me that we are over the target. The charges against the charges against Michael Saylor, basically saying that he didn't pay, the charges of Michael Saylor coming from a district attorney in the Imperial City, the home base of the Federal Reserve, press charges against not only Michael Saylor, but MicroStrategy. That tells me that the fiat establishment, the people that pray to the high church of fiat, are scared right now. But I think as Bitcoin and a number go up technology continues to do its thing, it's going to be absolutely undeniable in 5 years that not only Nayib Bukele made a great decision, but also Michael Saylor proving to other public companies that Bitcoin is better to hold than fiat. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
Well, first off, on the Mac or the white paper on all Mac OS, again, you guys know I've taken tomatoes for this. I am a Mac user. I like Apple products. So, you know, I like it easy. Sorry, guys. Anyways, I didn't trust on this. I verified. I ran the code on my own computer, pulled up the white paper. It was pretty, I don't know, I guess maybe surreal and also hilarious, the fact that the Bitcoin white paper has just been on everyone's MacBook for the last, what, 4 years, maybe close to five now. It's just one of those like Easter eggs that you find on the MacBook, which I thought is actually super hilarious. But, you know, shouts out to the dev that that probably just embedded that in there and just like didn't really tell anyone. I think I did see someone kind of bring it up in 2020 as well. So I think it's been known for a little bit, but it's making its rounds now. But also to that Tim Cook video, you know, he said kind of the telltale Bitcoin takes for a while, like he's been interested in it for a while. He's done a little bit of research and he thinks it's interesting. And, you know, if he's done any rudimentary research, then I am pretty sure he is a Bitcoin maxi. I can only guess someone that, you know, has that much money under his control actually understands how money works and doesn't fall for the shitcoin scams. And to that point of you doing the basic maths, you know, personally, maths is hard. But I think if you have that much money under your control, inflation really does take, you know, like a lot more precedent to everything you're doing. And Bitcoin does fix this. I can remember, and I'm blanking on which one of our guests was saying this, so don't quote me, guys. But after one of our shows, he was basically running down the same idea that people with millions, multi-millions, you know, tens, hundreds of millions, and like Tim Cook, trillions of dollars under their control, they feel the pain of inflation. And for us, you know what, like we hold $100. Yeah, we lose $4, like whatever, you know, so whatever, it's a coffee. But if you're holding hundreds of millions of dollars and you lose 4 million, 6 million overnight, you know, plus the cost of the real inflation that people are feeling, you're going to look for an alternative. And I know I hear a lot of Bitcoiners on Twitter always saying like, oh, you know, Bitcoin price is pumping. Who's to say that people are actually jumping into Bitcoin for the inflation hedge and the safety of sats? Well, I think it's just a slow process, guys. As Bitcoiners, we all understand that first they go into the dollar and then they'll probably look for gold. And then soon enough, they'll be open and understand that, wait, everything isn't as good as Bitcoin, and Bitcoin will go up. Bitcoin is the only thing that's going to hold its value and further continue to go up to the right. So I think it's really only a matter of time until people feel the inflation shock, the pain of inflation, and look for the alternative. And I think we are seeing this happen in real time. I think, you know, I hate using the term smart money, but I think the smart money is already either in Bitcoin, allocating to Bitcoin, and it's only a matter of time until they come out publicly and like, oh yeah, my bags are packed. I love Bitcoin. And then the price really starts running. We've seen this happen over and over and over again. So I just can't wait to see more people add Bitcoin to their treasury. And I think this next bull run, we will see a lot more dominoes fall a lot quicker than we've seen in the past. And hey, we're here for this. But to you guys at Apple, man, when are you guys going to add Bitcoin Core native to Mac OS? Like, that'd be way more lit than just having the white paper.
Yeah, right. 100%. Anyways, what are your thoughts on this, Justin, before we move on?
Just, well, a couple things. One, the journalist saying, are you into Bitcoin? And while he's answering that, just so everyone's clear, like you can tell he's talking about Bitcoin. The journalist throws out, you know, like other shit coins, but you can tell in his answer, he's replying specifically to the Bitcoin. So I think that's important to keep, to remind people. But then that list of the Bitcoin holders that you put up there, like just look at that list and see how each one, you know, acts, I guess, right? And you got Tim Cook, you've got Jack Dorsey, you got Michael Saylor, you've got, you know, I can see the one below that. You know, they all comport themselves in a certain way. And I think maybe hopefully this white paper on the Mac is evidence of that. But then you've got Elon at number two and doing whatever Elon does, which I think is disappointing. You know, the opportunity that he has to act like these other leaders, I'd say. But he doesn't. He's acting in ways that I think hopefully he'll be embarrassed about at some point. But then, you know, here's where I think it gets really interesting with this Apple, right? And like, are they burying something in a footnote here? Because yes, their cash is suffering from the loss in purchasing power. You guys do a great job of explaining that. But it might go a little deeper than that, because this is what the banking crisis is they have cash equivalents. They buy, it's in the article, I took a screenshot, $134.5 billion in long-term marketable securities. This is Apple's, this is what Apple has, right? This is their pile of cash. Well, these marketable securities are investments that can be quickly and easily turned into cash equivalents. Well, of Apple's marketable securities are held in U.S. treasuries. Well, that is what happened with Silicon Valley. Like, as far as I understand, listening to, the experts in the Bitcoin space on what happened with the banks, really, and why there's all these insolvencies, is because they had all this cash. They put it in cash equivalents, which is U.S. treasuries long term, were at risk for the inflation rate and took a 30-40% hit. And then people came to get their money back. And when they had to sell their U.S. treasuries, they had lost 40% of them. So $134.5 billion of Apple's cash equivalents may have already taken like way more than in just standard inflation. Like, it could have taken the 30% hit that these banks took on their U.S. treasuries. I mean, it's the same thing. So, and it's a result of the interest rates being increased by the Fed. Anyway, I thought that was, it's a little bit more than maybe the standard ice cube melting
inflation. 100%. Also, I have a propaganda piece that I wanted to go with. I wanted to go through with you guys. Here is an article by The Guardian, and it's really interesting how, how far these central banks go to basically say that they are not the causes of inflation. We had the meme that was posted by the European Central Bank due to Opti breaking up with Christine Lagarde, basically saying that inflation is caused by workers asking for more money. Basically, it's not caused by the money printing, and they're really trying to hammer this point in home. And it kind of coincides with basically what we've been trying to tell you guys, what their weak point is, right? They don't want you to know that the money printing that they're doing is the cause of inflation. They do not want you to know that you can use a money that doesn't steal from you, that doesn't lose in purchasing power over time. The gig is up when that happens, right? The Treasury was avoiding it. The White House economic report, they avoid the topic of inflation altogether. And I suspect it's because it's an indefensible position if the common man, the everyday man, wakes up to the fact that the government is printing money. They have this special privilege of being able to create money for free that everyone else has to work for, and that you can also use a money that doesn't steal from you. Check out this article by The Telegraph. It's titled, "Our Money Printing Spree Did Not Cause Inflation Crisis, Bank of England Insists." Right here is the inflation data, CPI from the UK. And it goes, it basically went all the way up to 10%. Now, I don't have the data like the Federal Reserve has, where it shows you what the M2 supply is. And as you could see, look at that. Around 2020, they basically, it's just literally, it's a hockey stick. It's literally a hockey stick up that makes the 2008, 2009 at the beginning of the QE experiment literally look like a drop in the bucket. This is exponential growth in the money printing. They cannot stop printing. And to have some more data from the Fed, and take a look at that, everybody. Around 2020 is when inflation shot up. And I know that all the central banks around the world did something very similar. They turned on the money printers, but they would like you to know an official picture. Look at that. And they would like you to know that Silvana Tenreyo defends quantitative easing. And not only does she defend it, she says that our money printing spree did not cause the inflation crisis. Like, and this coincides with what the European Central Bank was saying as well. Hey, it's because workers are asking for more money. That is the cause of inflation. It's nothing else. This is bullshit. Like, they're lying and spitting in your face, man. This is what it looks like. But it's a point of weakness of which we can exploit by highlighting it with truth. Remember the article by Nayib Bukele. Their control is their control on truth. Their control is on the control of the narrative, and they're going to print and steal and do everything in their power in order to maintain that privilege. Anyways, everybody, what are your thoughts on this, Opti?
Well, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Simply, expanding the money supply is what causes inflation. It's as easy as that. So they can gaslight us however they want to. It won't change basic economics. The more money they print, the more they devalue your money. This is a lesson as old as time. We've seen this happen over and over and over again. And no amount of headlines from, what was that, the Fiat Times is going to change basic economics. So they can say whatever they want, but it's very simple. It's cut and dry. So I'll pass it on to Justin.
Yeah, you know, maybe it boils down to, like, how dumb do they think we are, or how dumb are they? You know, like, there is a world where they honestly believe what they're saying, and it's insane. Like, either way, it's bad.
Yeah, 100%. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new offer. Swan has a new offer, Bitcoin and Generational Wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, non-ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, you could always send me a Twitter DM if you have any questions on this whatsoever. Anyways, Opti, it's all you.
Let's go. Well, I do have some tweets here, but I just kind of want to have a conversation with Justin here. Your Twitter bio says you are senior advisor at Satoshi Action Fund. So let's just start there. What is a Satoshi Action Fund, and what's the goals of the Satoshi Action Fund?
Yeah, it's an organization that was co-founded by Dennis Porter and focused on positive Bitcoin mining policy in the state, at the state level. And so that's where he's working with states. Satoshi Action Fund is working with states like Montana, like New Hampshire, Mississippi. When you hear these right to mine bills that are moving through state legislatures, a lot of that is coming from the efforts of Satoshi Action Fund at the legislative side, then also just educating policymakers, engaging with them, and getting on the offense. You know, there's now we're maybe on the defense in Texas and been on the defense in New York a little bit. So that is part of it as well. Clearly, we can talk more about Texas, but it's really about educating at the state level and moving through positive legislation.
Love it. Love it. Well, we did and have been talking about what happened in Texas. So what's your thoughts on this anti-Bitcoin mining bill in Texas? I forget what the numbers were. It's like 1751, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And so maybe just a quick update. You guys did a great job of covering the issue. But where it stands right now is that it has passed unanimously through committee in the state Senate. So it's technically, it's kind of the first step. There's no other place for a bill to start. It's got a ways to go, but the path is being cleared for it because it was unanimous. Now it can move much more quickly through the Senate, and it's basically like considered uncontested now. And so it doesn't even get a debate or anything on the floor, on the Senate floor. Again, there's the House and the Senate at the state level also. So this is just happening in the Senate right now. So it looks quite clear that it's going to pass the Senate. it's being expedited, you could say. There's a lot, and we're still trying to figure out why there's so much priority on this. So stay tuned to that. But the efforts now are being focused in the House, the state House. We're talking because it'll have to move through the state House as well. So we're prepping and helping bring people up to speed on the bill, on the concerns that the industry has, and hopefully it kind of dies in the House is a possibility. If it doesn't and it moves through, then you know it goes to the governor. So we're still confident that there is plenty of opportunity for this bill to not become law. And so it's just not going to happen in the Senate. And we're probably going to hear another headline about how it's passed out of the Texas State Senate. So just so everybody knows, there's still going to be some steps to come before it actually is law. But it's a very cynical bill. Texas probably would have had blackouts. I think it's fair to say Texas almost certainly would have had blackouts, just like some other states did over Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, if they didn't have 1.5 gigawatts of Bitcoin mining to shut down, or they just shut down on its own. And so they'll really be, it's one of those things. It's like Bitcoin mining was too good, too successful at what it can do in terms of balancing the grid. And this bill is a little bit of a result of that from other market participants that, you know, Bitcoin mining is drinking their demand response milkshake and they don't like it. So anyway.
I love it. I love it. I've been asking this question and actually kind of like going back and forth in my own mind about this same idea. And I'm going to kind of angle it into what we're seeing with the Texas bill about kind of, you know, the energy FUD surrounding it. And I know you wanted to touch on what'd you say? The true meaning of hash rate, I think, is what you said before we went on live. So I'm going to ask you a question and then you can go on a little rant. And do you think that this is an education issue with people in, bureaucratic positions? Or is this just an incentive issue and people are going to basically fight Bitcoin because, we always say it, Bitcoin eliminates the money printer and they understand where their true seat of power comes from?
Yeah, definitely. I always like to think that it's a matter of education, and to a certain extent it is. That's a lot of what Satoshi Action Fund does is engage with state lawmakers, even federal lawmakers, staff, and help them better understand Bitcoin mining and how important it is as a technology, as an industry, all the great things it can do, whether it's renewables, high paying jobs, balancing the grid, protecting nuclear, incentivizing nuclear, like all these things that Bitcoin mining as an industry and a technology can bring. There's people that get it, right? It's like selling candy to a baby for people that have an open mind and are interested in solving problems. But it's not hard to see. I don't think this is a matter of education. Like this Texas bill, it is 1751 state bill in Texas. And it's definitely, it's obvious that it's the then they fight you stage. And I think this is a vector that maybe a lot of folks didn't see coming in terms of like from legacy demand response participants, I guess, or other service providers of for the grid. Maybe we should have seen it coming, but it speaks to the power of Bitcoin mining as a technology. I think there's how easy it can come in and just take care of things. And I've said it too, there's so much brain power right now within grid operations and electric utilities, like focused on, okay, how are we going to control people's thermostats? How are we going to control when they charge their electric vehicles? How are we going to control this? How are we going to control that? It's like Bitcoin mining just shows up. You're like, you don't need any of that anymore. Sorry. You don't need it. You don't need it. You can stop trying to figure it out because it's complicated and it's infringing on people's rights to just live their lives. And wouldn't it be great if we could just get rid of all that and just let Bitcoin mining do it? And it will. I think it will, but there's going to be speed bumps along the way. But anyway, I think, just the last thing to say, you mentioned hash rate. I like to remind people, because hash rate is at this all-time high, that it's just so much more than that line on the chart, which is exciting enough. But when you understand like the infrastructure that's going out there, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm working with Standard Power. It's an infrastructure as a service. So any miners out there that want to plug in 50 or 100 megawatts, you know, let me know. We're setting up a massive campus in Ohio, right? There's other states. So even if Texas hits itself in the face, you come to Ohio. And it's just this massive infrastructure build out. And it's also rural revitalization. Like, it's showing up in places like the Rust Belt, where industry's left and isn't interested in returning. And so Bitcoin mining, it's just another one of these great things that it can do. It can show up and it can bring back to life these communities that were abandoned 5 years ago, 20 years ago, it doesn't matter. And so that's what we're doing. And the fact that they're sitting there languishing for so long, decades, is the evidence that you need to know that like there really aren't any other great solutions. I've driven across the country a lot, and I've always thought like, man, something's off. Like, just our society doesn't scale like it needs to. And here comes Bitcoin mining, like it solves that problem. And so that's just another aspect of it that I think is so powerful, and the states that get it are gonna benefit tremendously, and the states that don't, they're gonna sort themselves out too. So
couldn't agree more. I got one more question. Considering that you are at Satoshi Action Fund and you're, you know, got your hat in the ring of educating people, and for lack of better descriptions, on the front lines of pushing Bitcoin adoption, I know we at Simply Bitcoin and a lot of Bitcoiners in general have this like very paranoid take of like, I know we are in the then they fight you stage, but we are seeing kind of some glimmers and some hopes of like not only just the political tide, but the popular cultural perspective on Bitcoin changing. So are you seeing positive stuff on that front, or do we just have to bunker down and understand that, yes, we are in the then they fight you stage and prepare for battle?
Both. Yes and yes. I think that there are a lot of exciting things happening in the States, almost entirely due to the efforts of Satoshi Action Fund. I'm just a small, small part of it. Dennis is out there with his policy advisor, and they're it's incredible. I don't know how they do it, to be honest, but the right to mine bills that are coming out in Montana, they're the antithesis of what this bill is in Texas. This bill is very discriminatory, pokes specifically at Bitcoin mining, whether it's bringing up a valid concern or not. It's just blatantly discriminatory. It's like, we don't like Bitcoin mining, and so, you know, have some, we're going to shove in your face. But the antithesis is these right to mine bills that are happening in Montana. And so you are starting to see states, and I think they'll, as it becomes more clear that there's this antagonism towards the industry that can show up anywhere, I think it's going to be more and more important for states to create these opportunities for the industry to show up and work its magic. And so there's definitely glimmers of hope, but I would never, if you want to steal a home mine, you want to, like, it's not that crazy yet, but you know, have a pass. Make sure you got your passport. That's what I say. And if you have a second passport, even better, right? But I'm boss, right? He always says it's got to go through my price target of 2 million to get to, you know, infinity, and you gotta go through one passport before you can get two.
Love it. Okay, what can the audience do out there to, I guess, you know, I know we say it's a peaceful Bitcoin revolution, but what can the audience, the average person, do to fight against this type of regulatory oversteps that we're seeing?
Yeah, well, I think getting involved locally is where you have the most influence, and it's probably the best bang for the buck. And so, you know, it's great to write your U.S. senators and your congressperson, but it's even better to write your state representatives. You know, write them a letter, go visit them in their office. You'll be like one of 10, and tell them, look, here's why I like Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining, and what can we do in our state to, you know, and here's a group, here's Satoshi Action Fund. They're willing to engage and educate you on why this matters and all the benefits that it can bring to your state. You could probably have a lot of influence on them, and we'll show up and we'll give them the PowerPoint. So you can get in touch with your electric commission, your public utility commission. They're the ones that set electric rates. You can make sure that those commissioners, whether they're appointed or elected, that they understand that you are not interested in them making discriminatory rate designs against Bitcoin mining or discriminatory policies and demand response programs that just artificially limit the ability of the industries of the industry to provide these services back to the grid and be compensated for them. So you can get involved and it matters. So do it. It'd be great.
Love it. All right. Love it. Nico, jump in and let's get into the meme review.
Yeah, then we'll get into the meme review. But first, I wanted to address something because I saw a comment. So I wanted to nip it in the butt. Look, guys, my purpose is to push Bitcoin adoption. And I will not stop until that happens, right? Simply Bitcoin prides itself from being one of the only shows that highlights plebs from all walks of life. No other show really does that. We put our heart and soul into this every single day. I'm in constant communication with Opti, and our job is to release as much Bitcoin content as possible. My heart and soul is into Bitcoin adoption, and I'm going to use all the platforms that I have in order to make that happen. So if you want to give me fucking bullshit for that, go right ahead. But I bet you, you're not doing as much as I am. Anyways, Opti, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
All right, guys. I also want to tell you about BitPlates. Dude, don't store your seed on paper. If you do that, it's prone to water damage, fire damage, your dog's gonna eat it. You wanna store your Bitcoin seed on steel, and there's no better place to do it than the BitPlates. Easy to use, hard to destroy BitPlates Domino are designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words, pad phrases, made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel and offering the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. 10% off all BitPlates products using promo code SIMPLY. Visit BitPlates.com today. Anyways, Opti, what are the memes, brother?
Let's go. This is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show where you guys tag. Actually, you guys need to tag me in more memes on Twitter or send them to our Telegram, because I can scour the internet and find the memes that I like, but it's a lot more fun when you guys tag us in the memes and we, you know, spread the signal together. But what do we always say? Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. We are in an information war, as Justin so eloquently laid out, as Nico put in the beginning in the numbers. It is very obvious we are in the then they fight you stage. It is an information war, and it's upon us to spread the Bitcoin signal, get the calls of actions out there, and get the freedom tools into people's hands, your loved ones, your friends, because this is all we can really do to protect ourselves from the madness and opt out from the fiat matrix. Anyways, this first meme, shouts out to Dr. Bitcoin MD on Twitter, and he goes, the orange-pilled pleb working at Apple, and it's the Oprah Winfrey meme where she goes, you get the Bitcoin white paper, and you get the Bitcoin wiper, and you get the Bitcoin wiper, and everyone gets a Bitcoin white paper. Let's go. And of course, I'm doubling down on the Apple Bitcoin white paper news. We got at Sats Joseph on Twitter, and he goes, well played, Apple. Well played. And I don't know what this meme's from. I guess I haven't seen the show. But anyways, he's also dunking on Elon and the Doge icon on Twitter. And it goes, you put a shitcoin logo on the homepage. We put Bitcoin white paper in every computer. We are not the same. Let's go. And of course, I am tripling down on the Apple Bitcoin white paper news. And we got Toxic Cat. Shouts out to Toxic Cat. He's huge in our Telegram group. He's very active in there. Shouts out to you, bro. And I forget what the show is as well. I think this is Minions, the evil guy from Minions. And it goes, the pleb at Apple adding the white paper to every Mac. And it's got the Bitcoin white paper behind him. And he's looking over his devious edition. Anyways, off the Apple news, we got at Cold Hard Sats on Twitter. And it's a dad on those trampoline gyms. And he's jumping and he's about to dunk on his daughter. And the guy that is jumping is me with the Bitcoin logo. And the little girl at the bottom goes, literally any conversation. This is us adding Bitcoin into literally every conversation possible. Even when they don't ask, even when they don't even have an opening, Bitcoin fixes this. I see you guys do it all the time on Twitter. And I'm sure you do this in real life anyways as well. And of course, this next one is a news story that kind of slipped through the cracks in my regards. But shout out to Morpheus BTC for covering it and putting it into meme form. There was a story yesterday that dropped about Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan CEO, suggests that governments to seize private property to build wind and solar farms. This is why we Bitcoin. You cannot confiscate it. And it's the classic what meme. And so JP Morgan CEO suggests governments to seize private property to build wind and solar farms. Me like, what the fuck? What is going on? This is absolute clown world banana stuff. This is why we Bitcoin. This is why you take your Bitcoin into self-custody. This next meme, it's a little more of an infographic. It's one of these not only humorous memes, but also detailed calls to action type memes. And we got Sanjana Connect on Twitter. Forgive me. And she goes, as a founder of a Bitcoin startup, everyone wants to speak to me about crypto. They all think Bitcoin equals crypto and that they have found the next big thing. So I decided to make this visual. If you read this and still don't get it, well, have fun staying poor. For everyone else, stack that coin as if your freedom depended on it. Anyways, the infographic is Bitcoin, not crypto. And we have on the left side, Bitcoin. 1, an asset without an issuer. 2, decentralized. 3, immutable. 4, no counterparty risk, a commodity, and crypto. 1, pre-mined and distributed to the team. 2, centralized. There's a management team for consensus. 3, the system changes and is unpredictable. 4, there's multiple counterparty risk. And it is a security. It is unregulated for now. Infographic to share to your friends and family when they tell you it is Bitcoin or it's crypto, not Bitcoin. Anyways, yesterday's news, we covered that Saylor is taking all the Bitcoin, stacking all the Bitcoins. And we have RDBTC here, a play on this idea, because we also covered the fact that the government sold a bunch of Bitcoin. And we got U.S. government, we should sell this Bitcoin at Saylor. Dibs, this is mine now. And he's got an extra long hand scooping up all the Bitcoin. It really does feel like this is what is currently happening right now in the world. Stop selling your Bitcoin to Michael Saylor, guys. Stack them sats. The only number that matters is the sats under your control. Anyways, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover ours live, and we will cover yours live. Anyways, Nico, I asked you whether this was kosher, and it's definitely kosher. It's my empty bottle of Highland Park 12 years age scotch.
From the Orkney Islands.
Yeah, is it? Yeah,
you got to take a sip, bro.
It's empty. It's empty.
Oh.
It's empty. It's already been drank. Is it, actually? Well, then, on brand. Highly recommend for the price. It's very delicious, guys. If you know, you know. Anyways, Nico, what's your score?
I mean, it kind of explains a lot that the bottle's empty. Anyways, I'm going to give it since we're doing whiskey, I'm going to give it this almost done Cohiba cigar.
Wow, very gentleman scores today.
Boom, boom, sophisticated. Right. Sophistication, dog. Sophistication.
Let me bring it down a notch then. You guys, I've got ultra rare white paper foil card from the Bitcoin trading cards series 1. And I'm going to double it up because I think these are awesome. Everybody should be doing it. This is a deck of playing cards from the Satoshi's journal. And everyone is different with something to learn about Bitcoin. So good. Those are some good memes.
All right, everybody. Before we get to the guest scores, or the viewer scores. I don't know, Opti. How do we refer to that?
The it's viewer the, scores. The chat scores. The
chat scores. Yeah. Anyways, we want to give a shout out to our clothing sponsor, representltd.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. The Simply Bitcoin merch is sold out, but I am working on it. More Simply Bitcoin merch. Stay tuned. You can visit representltd.com for all their awesome merch, and you could use the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a big discount, anything on the store. Anyways, everybody, let's get to some of the meme scores. Let's do this first one by Decentralized Data. Give the memes a lawsuit. All right, now I can do it. I give the memes a lawsuit because Craig Wright invented the meme and the letters that spell meme. You've been warned. Phil C, I give the memes 100 million civil asset forfeiture proof sats. Very nice.
Let's go.
Very, very nice. Bitcoin's compliance department score rip to all of Opti's easy ex-girlfriends. Elaine Lowell score Bitcoin adoption promoted on every platform everywhere. Very, very nice. Wicked Devil, I give the memes the orange screwdriver I'm going to use to open up the Mac in order to remove the Bitcoin white paper inside.
Yeah, do that. Confirm. Confirm.
Maybe there's Bitcoin in there too. Andrew Williams, I give those memes an angry Nico telling Texas how beneficial Bitcoin mining is. I don't think I've done that before, but I'll take it. Ajax 1991, I give the memes a margarita and some Zaza on South Beach for Bitcoin. I hope I have that with you, brother. Let's get a drink together. All right, that sounds delicious. All right, next one. We always stop because of the buzzer. We never run out. It's just the buzzer.
Yeah, it's just the buzzer.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, where we pride ourselves in featuring Bitcoiners from all walks of life. We don't exclude certain Bitcoiners just because you decide to label yourself something. And I also want to appreciate our guests for coming on today. Justin, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, jworkme5. And thanks for having me. That was great, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed that episode, make sure to smash that like button. And of course, if you feel like we provided you value, the number one thing you could do to help the channel, subscribe, and of course, share Bitcoin content. Share all Bitcoin content. Don't be exclusive to what Bitcoin content you're going to share. Share it all, because that's how we win. You know, it's orange versus green. Anyways, love you all. We'll see you tomorrow, another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.